We are in week number 4 of our series. So the month of March, we've kind of been going through Lordship Living and God Provides. The very first week, we talked about, isn't it all mine? And that was ownership and how God is the source, creator, and owner of everything. And he owns it all. The second week, we went through the blessings we don't deserve. And that was on relationships. And we talked about old scoundrels, people like Jacob and Esau, the prodigal son, and the dying thief on the cross, and kind of our relationship with God and how we are with him. Then last week, we talked about how am I doing? And that is trust. And we talked about Father Abraham and his son Isaac and how he went to offer him as a sacrifice, and God provided a ram for them so he didn't have to. But it was all about trust. Abraham trusting God, Isaac trusting Abraham, and God able to trust Abraham and stuff and listening to him. So that was the 3 weeks. This week we want to talk about lasting returns and faithfulness. And our scripture will come from Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 through 21. And if you want, you can turn there with me. If not, you can follow along. I'll read it for you now. And then we really won't touch more on it during the message, but it will be there. And it's Genesis 39, verses 20 and 21. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Faithful. When I say the word faithful, what comes to your mind? What do you think of?
Consistent.
Okay. What? Truth. Okay. What? Loyal. Okay. Anyone else? What do you think of faithful?
Devoted.
Reliable.
Loving.
You see, the idea of faithfulness, it has really suffered in our generation that we are in right now. More often than not, we hear of stories of betrayal and unfaithfulness more than we do about stories of people being faithful, especially in the area of marital faithfulness. Did you know that according to a Gallup poll, 73% of Americans under the age of 45 believe that life spent with the same partner is unusual and unnecessary. In another Gallup poll, 89% of people who are currently going through a divorce cited family history as one of the contributing factors to the reason that they are getting a divorce. From this, you can kind of get the idea or get a conclusion that when we model unfaithfulness, others are affected by our actions. When you model unfaithfulness, others are affected by our actions. But you know, the opposite is true. If you model faithfulness, we influence others to be faithful. When we observe someone who is faithful, whether in their marriage or in their walk with God, we are encouraged to be faithful too. And instantly, what comes to my mind here in this congregation is Annie. And when you think of Annie at 102 years and the story she can tell us and seeing how faithful she has been to God and how faithful God is to her, it just makes me want to keep following God and be faithful to God. So Annie, thank you for being faithful to God all these years. But we have some biblical examples of people who were faithful as well. God has graciously given us these accounts in Annie's life or in the Bible, so that we can follow their footsteps today. And right now we want to look at one of the best examples in the Bible, and that would be Joseph. And he was the son of Jacob. You see, you and I make choices every day. And every choice we make means not choosing something else. If I'm going to get up and go to work, then I have to choose to not stay in bed and sleep. Yeah. If you choose to study and do your homework, okay, mostly this crowd over here right now, right? That means that you have to choose not to watch TV, play basketball game, play video games, or talk on the phone, right? I got some people over here texting right now. How about if I choose to do sermon prep, then I have to choose to not be on Facebook? Yeah. Yeah. See, we make choices. When you choose to do something, you choose not to do something else. Sometimes we face obstacles to the choices that we make. If we want to complete a college education, it'll cost us something in time and money. If you want to be successful in a business, it means you'll have to beat the competition. It's not always easy to follow through on our choices. It's the same thing with being faithful. Did you know that faithfulness is a choice? And it's one that we have to stick with if we want to please God. Think about Joseph. He was Jacob's favorite son. And for this reason, his brothers envied him. Of course, Joseph told his brothers about these dreams he had where they bowed down to him, and that just infuriated them. So they created in their mind that they wanted to get rid of him. So they decided first that they were going to kill him. But after that, they just sold him into slavery. The guys who bought Joseph, Joseph's buyers, took him to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar. And he was the captain of the guard. Then Potiphar soon realized that Joseph was successful in everything that he did. The scripture says that the reason for this was because the Lord was with Joseph. As Potiphar benefited from Joseph's work and God's blessing, he gave the Hebrew slave more and more responsibility. But you know, into every life, some rain must fall. And Joseph suffered from periodic downpours. When it rained, it really, really rained. Potiphar's wife noticed that Joseph was successful in everything he did and that he was a hottie. Okay, that's just what... Yeah, somebody... Okay, you catch on a little bit. And that he was extremely handsome. So she made advances at him. But you see, Joseph... We need to see his response, and that's critical today. He says, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? His words are reflected in a psalm by David of repentance. And it said, David says, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You see, when we're unfaithful to others, we're also unfaithful to God. Who knows how tempted Joseph was to give in to the advances of Potiphar's wife. What we do know is that Joseph made the choice to remain faithful to his boss, Potiphar, but also, and more importantly, to his God. Joseph made the choice to be faithful, and he stuck with it. There was a lady, her name is Gladys Allward, and she was a missionary to China more than 60 years ago. And when the Japanese invaded China, she decided that she wasn't going to leave without taking her work with her. And so with one assistant helping her, she gathered together more than 100 orphans. And she led them out of war-torn Yangchen over the mountains to freedom. And on that journey, one morning, she got up and she had spent the night in a restless night, you know, grappling with fear and trying to figure out what to do. And she wakes up in the morning with no hope of reaching safety. There is a river in front of them. And one of the girls who was with her said, was telling her about the story of Moses and the Israelites and crossing the Red Sea. And Gladys says, but I'm not Moses. And the little girl, she replies, of course you aren't, but God is still God. Now, I don't have this on there, so I'm going to break off for a minute. And what happened in the rest of the story, what takes place, is that they decided to sing. The children decided to sing a song. They were just singing some children's song. And there was a guard who happened to be cruising down the river. And he heard them singing. And he had a boat. And so he pulls over. And he ushered all of the children and Gladys and her assistant across the river to safety. And she was able to save all of the 100 children and stuff. It's an awesome story if you get the chance to read through it and stuff. But you see, regardless of the pressures or temptations we face, God is still God. What temptations are you facing right now? Maybe you're struggling to be faithful in your marriage. You're facing a difficult time, and it isn't easy. But you see, faithfulness means sticking with the choices you've made and trusting God. Maybe you're struggling financially. You've made a commitment to tithe of your income. But there are challenges, and these are challenging times that we live in. Remember, times may be tough, but God is still God. God will not abandon us in any situation, ever. He is always there to help us make the best choices if we will ask Him for help. Of course, it's up to you and me to obey. And as we've seen in the life of Joseph, obedience is critical to living a life of faith. Is obedience a habit in your life? Do you ask God to help you do the things that He wants you to do? Do you strive to be faithful in your service to God as you serve Him and as you serve others? Okay, let's go back to the story of Joseph. Do you realize that even though Joseph made the right choices to remain faithful to God, he still suffered from injustice? Potiphar's wife, she falsely accuses him, and her husband put Joseph into prison. And then later, while he's in prison, he has the opportunity to interpret some of the dreams of the prisoners who were there. And then later, one of them gets out, and when he returns to his master's house, he forgot all about Joseph. Now think about that for a little bit. Because when you consider Joseph, who was the favored son of Jacob, and how he was mistreated and seemingly forgotten, you might expect him to throw up his hands in frustration and say, following God just is not worth it. Maybe you've been there at times. But you know what? That's not the way the story reads. Joseph continued to be faithful to God, even though his circumstances were bleak. He used his skills to profit the jailer and the other prisoners, just as he had when he was in Potiphar's house. Joseph was faithful in honoring the Lord, and the Lord showed him favor. Later, when Joseph's brothers realized that he's still alive, they were afraid that he might try to take revenge on them. But Joseph stated that although his brothers meant him ill, God used his negative experiences to bless others. You see, he saw the big picture and even God's hand in unpleasant experiences in his life. Sometimes it's difficult for us to see that big picture. We focus on the immediate difficulty or the temptations or maybe even our own selfish desires. But God wants us to see things from His perspective. And that takes determination and faith. The natural inclination of each one of us is to cling to the things that we have, to try to keep them for our own benefit. You see, this isn't unlike the 2-year-olds who are up in the nursery. They don't understand the concept of sharing. Their favorite word is mine. Exactly. But see, God wants to break us of that selfish spirit. He wants us to be generous with Him and with others. When we refer to giving to the Lord, we often think of our finances. Well, let's put our finances aside for right now. And we'll talk about them later. Did you know there are other ways that you can be faithful in giving to the Lord? Think about your time. Are you faithful in giving of your time to God? Do you allow Him to help you set priorities in how you use your time each day? Do you give time to serve others, either here in the church or in your community? What about your talents? What gifts has God given you that you can use faithfully? Have you or will you commit them to God's service? How about the ways you can touch others uniquely through your personal relationships? Are you faithful to give yourself to God to do this? Once you've looked at all those other areas in your life, examine the use of your money. Is the way you spend your money and the way you give of your income in line with the rest of your life and where you're going? What do the priorities of your spending say about your faithfulness to God? Do you acknowledge Him as the owner and you yourself as just the manager of everything He has provided you? Waldo Weening once talked about three levels of giving. The first level is the you have to level, and that is the law. The second level is you ought to, and that is obligation. And the third level is you want to, and that is grace. If you have not reached the place where you want to give of your time, your talent, your treasure, or your touch in faithful service to God, would you be willing to ask yourself, would you be willing to ask Him to help you get there? You see, once there was a talent show at this local hall, and there was a guy who stood up and he played a saxophone solo, and it was brilliant. And when he was done, the entire audience stood up and cheered and gave him a standing ovation. Shortly after he walks off the stage, a prominent individual from the music industry approached him and offered him a contract with the recording studio, and he was going to be able to play with some of his great jazz heroes. There was another contestant, and she had written a poem. And she got up there, and the words that she read and the way she read them, it moved some people to tears. And when she was done, they cheered enthusiastically for her. Shortly after she walked off the stage, she was offered a contract at the local publishing paper doing poems with the opportunity to be able to publish some of her own poems. Then there was a third contestant, and he walked onto the stage and he was carrying a guitar. And he said, "Well, I had planned to play this guitar that my father gave me, but there are other people here who are better than me, so I didn't put anything together." And with that, the crowd fell silent. Shortly after he walks off the stage, his father seized the guitar and he gave it to the saxophone player and he said, "Here, take this instrument and use it so that people can hear the beautiful music that it can make." I don't know about you, but there are definitely times that I have felt like that third contestant. Perhaps you feel you have a talent for something, but you're not sure if you're talented enough. Have you ever thought about where your talents come from? Did you know that God knows your potential better than you do? And He gives us an abundance of talents because He trusts us with them. And it's up to us to use those talents in ways that will make Him proud of us as His children. You see, when we use our talent, our time, our treasure, and our touch for God's glory, He rewards us. We may not see it now. Matter of fact, we may not even be able to see any way some good could come from using our talents. Just like Joseph when he was sitting in prison, we may not be able to see the end of the story. But God is faithful. And if we are faithful in serving Him, He will be faithful in rewarding us. What are you good at? What are things that you do well, perhaps better than other people do? What are your gifts and your talents? Here's a second question. Why are you good at the things you're good at? Why has God given you ability to sing or to teach or to make money or to lead or to create? I'll tell you why. God has given you these gifts for a reason, and that reason is to bless other people. Joseph was blessed with gifts and talents that allowed him to be a blessing to the people of Egypt and also to the entire Middle East. He continued to prove himself trustworthy, and God showed him favor even while he was in prison. Sometimes we have false notions that others possess greater or better gifts and talents than ours are. The reality is God knows each one of us, and he gives us gifts we can use most effectively for his service. Whether it's cleaning the restrooms, whether it's greeting people at the back of the door, whether it's being on the worship team, whether it's getting the preacher some water, or standing up here and preaching a sermon. Teaching at kids' church and stuff, yes. You see, we each have a responsibility to use our gifts, our graces, and our talents that Almighty God has entrusted to us. After a classroom discussion in a college on spiritual gifts, a young man walks up to the professor and he says, "Is my gift prophecy or exhortation?" And the professor, knowing the student fairly well, kind of paused for a second, and he said, "I don't think either one is your gift. But if I have ever known someone who has the gift of helps, it is you. You are sensitive to the needs of others, and you're always willing to help." A look of disappointment came over the young man's face. "I knew it," he responded. You see, struggling with a low self-esteem, he was pursuing what he wrongly thought to be some of the greater gifts. Did you know that you will never, ever be satisfied trying to become someone that you are not? God hasn't distributed gifts and talents uniformly. And for this reason, we can be assured our sense of self-worth should not be based on what we do. Our self-acceptance should be derived from our identity in Christ and our growth in Christian character. Show me someone who understands who he is as a child of God and who exemplifies the fruit of the Spirit, and I'll show you someone who has a healthy self-esteem. God has given each one of us gifts and talents, and they're not for our use alone. They are to be used to bless others. The greatest mistake that we can make is to conclude that our gifts are somehow better than those of another person. In God's eyes, all gifts are equal because each one of those gifts equally serve the body, and that is the church. You see, when God called Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of slavery, he asked Moses, "What is in your hand?" He was ready to use Moses and the things that Moses had. God asks each of us that same question today. What is in your hand? What are your spiritual gifts? Have you identified your talents? Are you willing to offer them in faithful service to God? You see, when your everyday life comes together with your God-given strengths, at that place where God gets the glory, that is your sweet spot, where all three of those tend to come together. Will you use your uniqueness to make a big deal out of God every single day of your life? Will you do it? You see, as a way of committing yourself to faithful service in the kingdom, will you offer your time, your talent, your treasure, and your touch to God? Will you be like Joseph and be faithful to God wherever you are at? Will you be faithful regardless of your status? Will you be faithful even when you don't feel like it? Will you gladly give God yourself and your gifts in faithful devotion and service? I want to give you one last story, one last thing as I close here. George Washington Pruitt, he was a preacher in Texas for 47 years. And one night he goes to the house of a wealthy Texas rancher. And they have dinner, and after dinner they go up to the veranda, which was on top of the house. And if you've ever been to West Texas, or if you've ever been to a place where the land is flat, you know you can see for a long way. And the Texas rancher, he lights up a cigar, and he stands up there and he says, "You see to the south? You see all those oil rigs? I own every single bit of that you can see over there." And he points to the west. Nope, that would be the east, wouldn't it? Yeah, he points to the east. You know, I practiced that 100 times, and I never messed it up. He points to the east, and he says, "You see all that cotton field? I own all the land in that direction that you can see." And he looks to the north, and he says, "You see all that cattle up there? I own every single one of them." And he points to the west, and kind of brag, and he says, "And preacher, you see everything you can see that way? I own all of it. Except for the sun, of course." Dr. Truett turned to the man, and he pointed straight up to sky, and he said, "How much do you own in that direction?" See, the benefits of your faithfulness, they may come to you in this life, or you may not receive them here, but you will have great reward. When you enter into heaven, and you hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's rest." But you'll only hear those words and receive the lasting rewards if you've been faithful to keep God first in your life. If you practice lordship living. I want to close with one last question for each one of you to think about. And that is, how much do you own in that direction?